Researchers at George Mason University have been running the numbers on government incentives, and the upshot is Foxconn Technology Group's manufacturing campus is likely to be a net loss to the Wisconsin economy. Back in 2017, you remember the legislature approved up to $3 billion in special tax credits that were intended to get Foxconn to build its plant and create about 13,000 jobs. Do you think this was a prudent economic move for our state? How important are economic development incentives to Wisconsin, to any city attracting business? 800-642-1234 is the number to join in. 800-642-1234. Michael Farron is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center of George Mason University, where he studies the relationship between governments and businesses, and he specializes in labor and economic development. Michael, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So this research that you did isn't exactly good news for Wisconsin. How did your findings and your look at government subsidies that are meant to increase economic growth, how could they have actually the opposite effect?
Well, the answer is that our study actually looks at the costs as well as the benefits. All of the three previous broad studies on the effect of Foxconn only counted the benefits of Foxconn coming to the state. It never actually counted the cost of the government subsidies, which have to be taxed out of the economy in order to provide the subsidies. And we find that for Wisconsin's promised $3.6 billion in subsidies over the next 15 or 20 years, that would cost the state economy about $20 billion.
So how does that work exactly when you parse those numbers? How do you see that working out to those numbers?
So whenever you have a subsidy, you obviously have to pay for it somehow. And the $3.6 billion that Wisconsin promised Foxconn could have gone instead to a 22% reduction in the corporate income tax for all businesses, for the other 15,000 businesses across the state that are paying that tax. And so as a result, you're reducing economic development and growth in one area to increase it in another area. And on net, we find that the effect of the deal with Foxconn, not the Foxconn facility itself, but Wisconsin's deal, a promise to provide subsidies for Foxconn, is likely to lead to, at this point, a loss between $1.2 billion and $6 billion in total state economic growth over the next 15 years.
And so you're looking at GDP, gross domestic product here, that total value of goods and services in this span of time?
Exactly, yes. The total value of goods and services produced across the state will be lower as a result of the subsidies for Foxconn, which in the end probably weren't all that necessary, because a lot of businesses make the decision to expand or relocate despite government subsidies. Amazon HQ2, which just came to Arlington, Virginia, came to Arlington in spite of being offered much higher subsidies, even just across the D.C. area by Maryland.
Well, yeah, let's look at that for a moment. I mean, you looked at why companies choose the locations they do, what draws, you know, businesses to an area. And you saw some differences between how Amazon went about, locating its second headquarters versus how states approach economic development.
Absolutely. So Amazon is a perfect example that companies pick where to locate based first and foremost on factors affecting production and access to customers. So the ability to hire talented workers was the number one thing for Amazon and the number one thing for most companies. Alternately, access to local resources, if that is dependent on the company's production model, or logistical considerations like access to a port, are far more important than simply cash handouts. Because labor costs are about 14 times higher than tax costs in general, a small difference in the cost that you have to pay your workers would add up to much more of an impact than a tax incentive.
We're talking with Michael Farron. He's a researcher at George Mason University. He's been looking at the effect of government subsidies with Foxconn as a case study. You can join in. What questions do you have about government incentive packages for business development? Have you seen it work in your own community? And Southeastern Wisconsinites, have you felt an economic boost since Foxconn came to town? Join in, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Michael, state lawmakers in favor of the Foxconn deal have been encouraging similar development in the area, creating this industry cluster and calling it the Wisconn Valley. Did your study take into account that, you know, if they build it, they will come philosophy if you create these business clusters?
So all the economic development subsidies are always trying to create the next industry cluster, and everyone's always trying to recreate the next Silicon Valley. So it's understandable that politicians and policymakers would try to do that. But the answer is that it really doesn't work. Clusters arise spontaneously from the local conditions that make it conducive to create a cluster. And one of the originators of the industrial cluster research, Michael Porter at Harvard, has actually said that governments can actually get in the way by motivating the wrong cluster to form, or motivating the cluster to form in the wrong place, that leads to greater economic inefficiency. Because perhaps Foxconn would have been better to locate somewhere else in the U.S. if the subsidy did matter to their decision. But what the answer is going to be is slower national economic growth due to the misallocation of where industries are located.
So could Foxconn spur economic growth that we can't predict, that we can't run the numbers on at this point?
Absolutely. And that's part of one of the issues about this, is that a lot of people report the numbers regarding what Foxconn was going to do to the Wisconsin economy as if they were gospel. And at the end of the day, we really don't know what's going to happen. And Foxconn, in fact, has shown this pretty strongly, that they've already scaled back from a Generation 10.5 plant that would have needed about $10 billion worth of investments to a Generation 6 plant, which will only need about $2 to $3 billion worth of investments.
So the village of Mount Pleasant and Racine County, they created a special financing district to raise revenue to support the Foxconn project, build infrastructure. How do the investments from local governments factor into your research?
So actually they don't, because of the methodology that we used wasn't able to accommodate local spending in addition to state spending. We were only able to estimate the effect of state spending. That's the $3.6 billion that Wisconsin promised for Foxconn. But the additional $1.4 billion in local utility and federal subsidies, of which about $911 million of that is being spent by local governments, that doesn't count into our research. And at this point, because a Generation 6 plant would only be eligible for about $1.2 billion in subsidies, that $1.4 billion means that the subsidies that local governments are giving are about double what the state is on the hook for at this point, given that a Generation 6 plant instead of a Generation 10.5 plant is being built.
Well, let's take a call. Saeed joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering if in the cost-benefit analysis, it's been taken into account that these jobs come with health benefits, and therefore the equivalent reduction in either the Medicaid, state Medicaid spending, or a reduction in subsidized purchases of healthcare services on the exchanges, as well as reductions in welfare spending on unemployment.
Okay, so looking at the offsets here, would there be offsets in healthcare, for instance, Michael?
So the values that we used in our methodology are broad-ranging values. They say for every 1% higher state taxation, you're going to see about 0.35% reduced economic growth. So they would be holistically including those effects that Saeed is talking about, yes.
Saeed, thanks for the call. So, Michael, state and local governments, they spend a lot of time, a lot of money to increase economic development with this goal of increasing prosperity, quality of life. If subsidies aren't the answer, what methods can achieve those goals?
That's a great question, and it's probably good, again, to kind of look to the reasons why Virginia landed Amazon HQ2, which is it wasn't because of the subsidy. This was because, first and foremost, again, having access to local talented workers. And the only reason why Amazon considered going to New York City and then eventually canceled those plans was because they were worried that they weren't going to get enough talented workers. But Virginia also has an excellent business climate, and that is probably a major reason why it got the industrial cluster that Amazon will be bringing or will be expanding on. The answer is that you should have a general ground-up approach with the same policies and the same tax benefits available to every person and every company, not try to pick and choose winners and losers, because that's essentially just gambling with people's taxpayer dollars.
Michael, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Michael Farron is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center of George Mason University, where he studies the relationship between governments and businesses.